defendant, but he cannot disrupt these proceedings with such output.
Give us up, please!
If we are to have any semblance of order,
give us!
This is Conversations with Intelligent Black. Now, people of color on a never-ending quest for the discovery and application of truth and
truth. Back. It's your boy. Tati, a.k.a. Black Leo. Free minds from the Matrix. With digital
tech.
This show is dedicated to all those who have an inquiring, rational, and compassionate mind. To every person with the ability to throw off the chains of comfortable habits and unwarranted assumptions and move in a new direction that is guided by reason and observational evidence, no matter where that direction may lead. Our main objective is and will continue to be freedom, baby.
Okay. My apologies for starting out late. Let me make sure I get my sound right. Yeah. Okay. Take that down just a taste. Okay. Now, once again, my apologies for my late start. But you know, it seems that every time I come to this show, these episodes in the morning and on the weekend, that I run into technical difficulties. And I'm hoping my mic is right and everything. I've been working all this time trying to get it together right. But nevertheless, we're going to get right into our subject right there. And our subject tonight is going to be the movement, Black Economics. And yeah, it is about the money. Don't kid yourself. Here we go.
Life as a shorty couldn't be so rough. Staying alive with no job. Staying
Now that y'all know what our subject is, I just want to say, definitely, the root of our problem can be traced back to our financial situation. You know, we're already seeing it with police brutality, you know, education system, unemployment, poverty, crime, incarceration. Let me make sure you can hear me. Cut that down a little. Yeah. Homelessness, teen pregnancy, poor housing, poor health care, all that traces back to our poor financial situation. Now, I had a clip ready with Dr. Claude Anderson that definitely addresses this situation that we have. Unfortunately, like I said, technical problems. Due to the technical problems, I was not able to get that up. However, visit my site at www.fishstickbudget.com, and the video will pull up with Dr. Claude Anderson with the solution of our problems being none other than black economics. You know, everything we're facing right now is a result of our financial situation. And I did get some statistics that I want to pull up for you, which addresses this situation. And I invite you to call in live right now. I am on the air at 347-996-5051. If you feel that you have a better solution than the solution I'm presenting today, then please, we want to hear your voice here tonight on our show, Conversations with Intelligent Black Men. Once again, my apologies for the late start. A lot of technical difficulties. So I'm going to have to do something about this, because it almost seems like a plot, you know, to hinder this show, because this show puts it out there, keeps it real, and lets our people know what's really going on. Now, I say our financial situation because that's exactly what it is, you know. And one of these statistics, let me see if I can pull it up on our financial situation here. Bear with me. Actually, that's not the one I'm looking for. This was based on a consensus, and in the year 2014 alone, our buying power as a black community, we control, or I can't even say control because we're giving it away, but the money we spent last year totaled to $1.2 trillion. $1.2 trillion. Can you imagine that? That's how much we spent. Black people spent $1.2 trillion just last year. That's one third of the deficit of the whole United States. You know, forget reparations. If they paid us reparations, that would come to something like $4 trillion, which puts them in debt and we own America. Look, that's never going to happen. The only solution we have is a solution that our brother Marcus Garvey presented to us back in the 1920s, which was to pool our monies together, to think black, to buy black, be black, and everything else would take care of itself. This, by the way, is what some of us are doing, but a lot of us are not. As a result, that $1.2 trillion that we spent last year, only 2% of it even went to a black-owned business. Now, the definition of a black-owned business, according to Wikipedia, is a company that is owned at least, that a black person owns at least 51% of the company. That's the Wikipedia definition of a black-owned company. Now, a lot of people think what I'm talking about is capitalism, which, no, capitalism involves the minority corporation people, or 1%, as you may better know them, that control the industry and the whole buy and sell thing. But we can't get away from the cream, y'all. Money is a form of exchange, and we got to face it now. We can't eat, we can't do anything without it, and we're giving it away to that 1%. Now, the solution can easily be seen when you think about what our brother Marcus Garvey brought to our attention back in the 1920s, which was to support our black businesses, black people buying from other black people, and to influence us to open our own businesses. I mean, I had clips of Malcolm X. I had clips of Martin Luther King, which really explains it better than I can, of course, these great men. They all said the same thing, that black people need to learn how to go in business for themselves, which is what I've been doing and focusing on. Me and my wife, we just get it in. We trying to do, I shouldn't even say trying, we are doing our thing and building a better future for our people as well as our family, et cetera. Teaching my kids how to be entrepreneurial, teaching them how to have their own thing, so nobody will be able to tell you that you fired off the plantation. Basically, I mean, a job, let's face it, it's a plantation. There's good ones, there's bad ones. That just like back in the days of slavery, we had good plantations and we had bad plantations. Good jobs, bad jobs. You had to get up and go there. And if you don't believe in the cream, that cash rules everything around you, then don't go to the job on Monday or whenever you schedule to go in. And reality will start to kick in real quick. And it will come back to the solution being black economics, as our brother Claude Anderson. I wish I had that clip on here, but I've been having so many technical difficulties, I don't even want to attempt to put it on there. So you just got me right now. And like I said last week, we're working on smoothing this whole thing out, getting a better sound, getting a better quality, better subject matter, and the whole nine. But it's a process. You know, I have to do my thing through the day. If anybody that knows me know that I am probably not the busiest man in the world, but probably close. Anyway, and so being this one-man show now, it is a lot more difficult, I must say. I do miss my co-host. I wish him all the success with his own show. Airs tomorrow, I believe. Yeah, tomorrow, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Check him out. He's on, I believe he's on Spreaker, not Blog Talk. But anyways, that's his show. But back to the cream and how we already established that it rules everything around us, because that is the foundation to the political world, which is also ran by that 1%. And there's no way around it. If you think that just registering to vote, you know, that's been a big thing. I used to sit out in front of the stores and get people to register to vote and certain petitions and everything. And you know what? They still killing our young men. They still doing what they want with us. They still treating us like crap. So the voting isn't working. In fact, the reason why the voting does not work is because that politician that you vote for still needs to feed his family. And he can't feed them with love and your votes. He can only feed them with that money that we're talking about today. That being the movement that, and this is all part of the Black Business Network. That's where I got a lot of this information on the movement from. If you're interested in knowing more about the Black Business Network, I suggest you go check out my site, workwithtaqui.com. For those of you that don't know how to spell my name, it's T-A-Q-U-E-E. So workwithtaqui.com, you'll find out all about the movement and the Black Business Network, what we're doing with that. And definitely find out that the movement to Black economics and Black distribution is the answer to our problems. Money will control the police. With money, we can build our own education system to teach our children the real truth and teach them about our heritage and our culture, which is not being taught in schools. We're being taught a lie. We're being taught wrong history. We're being taught all that. But back to it, that cream will allow us to build our own schools, to educate our own children. It will definitely cure the unemployment problem because it will inspire and promote small business owners to continue to thrive. And small business is what runs the employment. Unfortunately, not enough Black businesses are out there and being supported enough to be able to employ our own people. And then you have a bias when you go looking for a job and you find out that you're just the wrong complexion for the connection. I sure hope my mic is right tonight, because right now I'm telling you how it is, and I'm explaining this movement, which is definitely important, which is the solution to our situation. Now, those statistics I wanted to bring up, the first one comes from a website called AmericanProgress.org, and it's the top 10 facts pertaining to the criminal justice system's impact on communities of color. Now, please believe, all that's going on, all our men being shot, all this unfair incarceration and all that can be solved, once again, with money. But let me go down the line with these 10 facts. Number one, while people of color make up about 30% of the United States population, they account for 60% of those in prison. Now, that's way disproportionate. I mean, it one in every 15 African men and one in every 36 Hispanic men are incarcerated, in comparison to one in every 106 white men. Do you see an agenda here? I hope you see this. Number two, according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, one in three Black men can expect to go to prison in their lifetime. What a future to look forward to. Number three, students of color face harsher punishments in school than their white peers, leading to a higher number of youth of color being incarcerated. Isn't that something? There's the incarceration problem right there. We're not being treated fairly in the school system, which is why we need to build our own schools for our own people. Number four, according to recent data by the Department of Education, African American students are arrested far more often than their white classmates. The data showed that 96,000 students were arrested and 242,000 referred to law enforcement by schools during the 2009-2010 school year. Of those students, Black and Hispanic students made up more than 70% of arrested or referred students. Harsh school punishments, from suspension to arrest, have led to high numbers of youth of color coming into contact with the juvenile justice system at an early age. This is what our kids got to look forward to. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense. Let me continue. What am I on? Number five. African American youth have higher rates of juvenile incarceration and are more likely to be sentenced to adult prison. Goes without saying. Number six, as the number of women incarcerated has increased by, y'all ain't gonna believe this number. You think about what number I'm gonna say, or if you already looked it up in AmericanProgress.org concerning issues and race. Anyways, the number of women incarcerated has increased by 800% over the last three decades. Women of color have been disproportionately represented. Who's going to represent them? We need more black attorneys. There's another black business to support. A black attorney. Black people to represent black people. Come on, y'all. This ain't rocket science. Number seven, the war on drugs has been waged primarily in communities of color where people of color are more likely to receive higher offenses. We talked about this on show earlier shows about this quote unquote war on drugs, which underneath it all is a war on our people. I'm not going to even go into all the details of that. Look at our past episodes and check that out for yourself. Number eight, once convicted, black offenders receive longer sentences compared to white offenders. Sounds like slavery all over to me. The U.S. Sentencing Commission stated that in the federal system, black offenders receive sentences that are 10% longer than white offenders for the same crimes. The Sentencing Project reports that African Americans are 21% more likely to receive mandatory minimum sentences than white offenders or white defendants, and are 20% more likely to be sentenced to prison. Fact number nine, voter laws that prohibit people with felony convictions to vote disproportionately impact men of color. Do y'all see the pattern? I mean, it ain't rocket science, and I'm not the smartest man in the world, but it don't take thick eyeglasses to see what's going on here. Number 10, our final, studies have shown that people of color face disparities in wage trajectory following release from prison. Evidence shows that spending time in prison affects wage trajectories with a disproportionate impact on black men and women. The results show no evidence of racial divergence in wages prior to incarceration. However, following release from prison, wages grow at a 21% slower rate for black former inmates compared to white ex-convicts. That's wild. Because, you know, most of our crimes committed by black people are crimes of survival. You know, our people out there hustling, yeah, selling dope, whatever. And most of it is because they can't find a better way. And hopefully, as we build this movement, they'll see better ways. We'll be able to provide better ways. We'll be able to take our own people in and provide a fair shake on everything. But it's just amazing how this system is set up. Because these white ex-convicts, you look at their crimes, we're talking about killed the mama and cut her head off and peed on them and, you know, killed these many people. Raped a dog, whatever. Stuff that we just don't do. Because we're not really criminal minded, so to speak, other than the program that has been forced on a lot of us, and we just have not been educated enough to see our way out, and we just see that fast money selling drugs or whatever. But I want to bring this up also. This is from drugwarfacts.org, and I'm looking at offense distribution of people serving time in state prisons in the U.S., which is, this was in 2011, by race and ethnicity and gender. In 2012, the most recent year for which data were available, 54% of inmates in state prisons were serving sentences for violent offenses. That comes to something like 707,500 prisoners. Anyway, 19% were convicted of property offenses, and robbery, and robbery was the most common violent offense among state prisoners in 2012, followed by murder and negligent manslaughter, and rape or sexual assault. A higher percentage of males, 55% of them, were imprisoned for violent offenses than females, which was 37%. Now, this says a lot, too. We're talking robbery being the most common violent offense among state prisoners, which we already know we make up about 60% of those prisoners. So this goes back to survival once again. You know, I knock at your door, knock, knock, knock. Hey, can I have a little cheese? You slam the door in our face. No. Wrong complexion for the connection. Blam. So we come knock again and ask real nicely, hey, I'm kind of hungry here. You think you could spare me a little cheese? Seeing as to you have all that cheese in your favor. So how about sharing with me? Blam. The door slams again. Sooner or later, I'm not going to knock for that cheese. I'm going to come demanding that cheese. Yeah, hide your cheese. So that to me tells me why there's the most common violent offense among state prisoners in 2012 was robbery, followed by murder. You know, that plays into all that equation. But do you see the pattern here? All of this can be solved by black economics. We have to build that black economic system in order to support all these problems we face. Poor health care, poor housing, teen pregnancy, homelessness, all that. It can be traced back to our poor financial situation as a people. And, you know, you look at other communities, and the Asians, they have no problem buying and supporting their Asian business partners and people in business in the Asian community, regardless of the price, which is, that's ridiculous. This is what we as black people just can't get over if the brother prices ain't as low as this Asian brother or this white person's prices. Well, let's understand that brother isn't given the breaks that these other business people have been given. So it's going to take us to push a little harder, spend a little more, make a few more sacrifices, drive a little further, suck up our pride and start to love our own people and begin to support our own people. And in no time, we'll start seeing the results of that being a positive translation for the prosperity of our people. Now, it's we have so many rumors out about black business and all these so-called cliches that have been built by this 1% and put out there in the media, which, by the way, Dr. Claude Anderson does explain that we don't own the media channels we need to own, so we can't put the truth out there. So all you have to be exposed to is the lie about black business, the lie about black people, the lie about our history. We can't retaliate because we don't even own enough media channels to go through. How do you get them? Cream, dollar bill, y'all. Straight up. That's what it's going to take. All these marches, that's not going to solve it. We need them, but that's not going to give us the solutions we need. Voter registration, we need it, but it's not going to give us the solution we need. Boycotts, hey, after a while, you got to buy something. Who are you going to buy from? If you're not supporting black business, you can't buy from black business. Plain and simple. A boycott would go hand in hand with take your money out of the 1%, start putting it in to the 99% by supporting black businesses. Once again, you can get the whole recipe at www.fishstickbudget.com and just check out that video of Dr. Claude Anderson and the black economic structure he recommends for the solution of our people. I wish I could have put it on here. I think I did play it some other episodes ago, maybe on my other show that plays through the week. Let's get it cracking. I do so many shows, it's ridiculous. But definitely you can see that video on my site, www.fishstickbudget.com, and you can check. We have such a uncomfortableness with buying from black people, our own people. We even uncomfortable to say hi to each other nowadays. Why? Because we're believing the lie. We're being fed by the media, the story, all this and all that, and it's not true. Like I said, visit fishstickbudget.com for more truth on all those subjects and more reality on where we're going as a people. And like I said, as far as information, more information on the movement, you can visit www.workwithtaki.com and get involved. It's free to join. So, you know, we ain't asking you for no 2,300 offerings and donation here and let me get your money right there. And no, it's the real deal. And it's the only movement out there that I can see that will actually bring real solutions to our people. Now, like I said, I invite anyone, I challenge anyone that has a better solution for our people than black economics. And I challenge you to call in. I mean, we're live, 347-996-5051. In fact, I believe I'm going to continue this episode next week so I can have all those other clips that I didn't have today and get it all together to start at a reasonable time. And just, I feel this subject needs a little more attention. And I plan to give it more attention next week, which I'm not looking at my calendar. I know it will be in the month of February, which is supposed to be Black History Month, the shortest month of the year. But it's the month they gave us to assimilate some of our true history. Of course, if we own more of the media, we could probably get more of our history out there. I just was on a interesting, I guess you could call it a webinar on Black Business Network TV, where it was the mega Black History event. It was free, and I encourage people to, I don't know if they're going to have a recording you can watch of that, but it all starts with becoming a member of the Black Business Network, which is free. Once again, at workwithtaki.com. That's another my plug-in on that. If you didn't get it, you just didn't get it. Pay attention. Anyway, back to one more thing, piece I wanted to share, and this is the criminal justice fact sheet. And it comes from the NAACP.org, and it talks about incarceration trends in America. It says from 1980 to 2008, the number of people incarcerated in America quadrupled from roughly 500,000, a half a million, to 2.3 million people. Why is that? I mean, in America, we have our incarceration is something like 25%. That's the highest incarceration percentage in the world. The United States incarcerates more people than any other place in the world. Today in the U.S. is 5% of the world population. So we only are, we're a small percentage of the world population, just 5%. But we got 25% of the world's prisoners. That's worldwide. Think about that, y'all. Now, that makes me wonder why we're having these situations with so-called terrorists coming and blowing stuff up out here. Perhaps there's something going on that we don't know about that the media is not going to tell us. I mean, we already know that Osama bin Laden was already conducting business with the Bush. They were business constituents, or however you want to say. They transacted business together. Sounds like me, like a business deal went bad. Funny. Thousands of people had to die for that, and so much manipulation of the media to make us think that Osama was the enemy, etc. I'm not going to go deep into that. Let me follow up, finish up with these facts. Combining the number of people in prison and jail with those under parole or probation supervision, one in every 31 adults, or 3.2% of the population, is under some form of correctional control. Y'all hear that word? That's that C word. That's that C word, that good old American C word, control. It's what they want to do. And it's what cannot be taken away without a strong economic system to be able to fight the power. Now, let's go on. African Americans now constitute nearly 1 million of the 2.3 million incarcerated population. That's ridiculous. Let me go on. African Americans are incarcerated at nearly 6 times the rate of whites. Together, African American and Hispanics comprise 58% of all prisoners, and that was in 2008. I'm sure it's even more ridiculous now. According to Unlocking America, if African American and Hispanics were incarcerated at the same rates of whites, today's prison and jail populations would decline by approximately 50%. That's half, baby. Half of the population would in the prison system would disappear if it was fair across the board instead of based on your complexion. But you know what that means. That's a lot of money loss. Oh, yeah. Let's not act like we don't know. The prison system is based on money. There's that word again. And you say, what does not rule everything around you? I suggest you take a different look, a second look at these statistics, and you tell me. 1 in 6 black men had been incarcerated as of 2001. And yes, I have been one of those people. And I know how it feels. And it ain't cool. To me, it's just another form of slavery. And I've already spoke on the things that led up to my incarceration, and it looks a lot like manipulation and a setup. I'm not going to go deep into that. Check out past episodes. That's all I'm going to say on that. But if current trends continue, 1 in 3 black males born today can expect to spend time in prison during his or her lifetime. And 1 in 100 African American women are in prison. Think about that, y'all. This is why it is important for us in this generation to realize and jump on board this movement like it is nobody's business. I mean, our ancestors fought to stop the slavery, and our immediate grandparents and great-great-great-great-great-grandparents fought for our civil rights. Don't y'all think it's about time for this generation to fight for the solutions that we need, to fight for an end to police brutality, to fight for an end of poor education, to fight for an end of unemployment, to fight for an end of poverty, crime, incarceration, homelessness, teen pregnancy, poor housing, poor health care? Isn't it time for us to fight for our people? We need to do this for our kids. Do you want your kids to be living with all these problems? Think about that and hit me on my show next week with the same subject. I'm out.
Like life as a shorty shouldn't be so rough. 16 alive.